It's a very long gospel, and there's an incredible amount that could be spoken about here. I'm in a men's Bible study. We meet at my house on Friday mornings, and we went over the readings for today, and I was trying to get some help, and all they did was give me 20 different things to talk about, so it wasn't much help. But one of the things that does help is the theme of this weekend is about thirst and about water. And we're going to do the scrutinies tomorrow, which means we're going to be welcoming the elect into the church. And so the theme of Lent and the theme of this weekend in particular is the waters of baptism. So I want to talk about thirst and about water. You know, in the first reading, the people of Israel were really thirsty. They'd been wandering in the desert. You can imagine that after walking a long way, you would be very thirsty. You know, people today don't leave and go anywhere without their water bottles. But people of Israel didn't have those nice, fancy bottles that we have. They were thirsty. And in the gospel, Jesus was also thirsty. You know, he asks for a drink. And the fathers of the church, they insightfully look at this and they say, you know what? Jesus was actually thirsting for this woman's soul. And that's really the theme of this homily, is how Jesus deliberately went out of his way to encounter this woman, even though she wasn't expecting it, even though she wasn't really looking for Jesus. He went out of his way to encounter her. He thirsted for her conversion, and that's what Jesus thirsts for with everyone on this planet and every one of us, even those of us who have been converted. He thirsts for us to be in union with him. And so Jesus himself takes up this idea and uses water as a metaphor and thirst, basically saying, you know, this living water that he's offering this woman is the life of God. It's not water that you get thirsty again every time. You have to keep drinking water. But it's the very life of God that Jesus is offering this woman. He offers that to all of us as well. He's offering us tonight and every time we come into his presence, especially in the liturgy. He's offering us his very life. From the very beginning of time, this is what God the Father has desired. I've said this, or you've probably heard this. We have the Catechism, which is a big, thick, encyclopedia-like reference manual of everything we believe as Catholics. The very first sentence is so profound. It says, God infinitely perfect in himself. You know, God doesn't need anything. Freely created man and woman so that he could share his divine life with us. It's the reason you and I exist. God had in his mind, he wanted to share his divine life with us and with everyone on this planet. Because without the life of God, we collapse and we stumble and we die. Just like without water. You know, maybe 7 days, maybe a week you can survive without water, and then you eventually, the physical body collapses. We too collapse without the life of God, and God knows that, and that's why he wants to share his divine life with us. This is the kind of the starting point, the foundation of our faith, of Christianity. You know, Christianity is not like a hobby or something optional we do. Our life depends on it. We won't survive without it. We need the life of God, and he wants to give it to us. We are all born spiritually thirsty. We're not satisfied like the animal kingdom, you know. They're happy with just their water that they can take in the morning and whatever they can eat. I walk every morning through this wilderness area near my house. There's deer everywhere. They're content with water and food. That's it. Human beings, we're not content. We want more. We're spiritually thirsty. We have this void in us that only the life of God can fill. But the fundamental problem is we look for other things to fill that void. We're spiritually thirsty, but we fill ourselves with other things that we think will satisfy that thirst. Things like material possessions, relationships, accomplishments, maybe the things that make us feel good because we've accomplished things, popularity, even things like pleasures. These aren't necessarily sinful things, but we're looking to them to get the life and fill this void in us, but only God can fill that void with his very divine life. And Jesus, as I said, comes to us tonight to share his life with us. So let's take a closer look at just part of this gospel. Again, there's so much here. Jesus, again, takes the initiative and enters into a conversation with this woman, which is a pretty remarkable thing. Again, it's pointed out in the gospel. Jews did not speak with Samaritans. Men did not speak with women in public in general. So that's remarkable in and of itself. And in a very clever way, Jesus introduces the idea of living water to this woman. It's really kind of amazing to watch the progression. He kind of gets her curious. You know, he says, well, there's this water, but if you're always going to come back, and I've got living water. And so her curiosity is really aroused. She wants to know what this living water is, and she wants it. Who would refuse living water from the Lord himself? So it's a very clever way of drawing her into conversation. Things are going really good. All of a sudden, Jesus says, go call your husband. Now, I don't know if you've ever thought this. We've all heard this reading probably many times. That doesn't really fit with the flow of the conversation. Like, what does calling her husband have to do with this really great conversation they're having about living water? Well, there's a spiritual principle here, and the fathers of the church, Saint Augustine, talks about this. And the principle is this: in order to receive the living water that Christ wants to give us, we have to put aside those things that we've used to fill that void, our spiritual thirst, the sins in our life, the attachments, but primarily sin. If we've got sin in our life, all we have to do is put it aside, turn from it. That's what the word repentance means, to turn, to change. Jesus will give us his divine life, that living water. That's why Jesus says, go call your husband. It is intimately related to the idea of giving life-giving water. In order to receive this life-giving water that Jesus wants to give her, she has to confront and deal with the fact that she's been looking for it in her five husbands. And so Jesus, I think, speaks to me. He speaks to all of us the same question. What are our five husbands? What are the things that if you or I were to sit down, and I encourage you to do this week, have a little what we call a Lectio Divina, where you read the scripture and enter into the story. Imagine you're sitting and having a conversation with Jesus, and it's exciting, and he's drawing you deeper, and he's offering you living water, and everything's going great. What would he turn to you and say? He might say to me something like, how's your fantasy football team doing? And I'd say, well, I have five I'm on, you know. No, I don't have five fantasy football. But there's something that all of us, in some ways, we're looking to fill this spiritual thirst with things other than living water. And we've got to let go of those things. We've got to let go of sin, especially. It's a spiritual principle that is the foundation of Christianity. We cannot receive the life of God unless we first turn away from sin. It seems so simple, so straightforward, but in the world today, we have groups of people who call themselves Catholics, the LGBTQ Catholics, right? They want to hold on to their sin, and they want the life of God as well. I hope they receive the life of God. I pray that they receive the life of God. That's what they desire the most. That's what they're searching for, just like you and me. But they'll never receive it if they hold on to their sins. I will never receive the life of God if I hold on to my sins. And so Jesus challenges all of us, let go of our sins, turn away from them. He will give us his very divine life. And again, that's what we're doing this weekend in the scrutinies. The people that are the elect in OCIA, tomorrow morning's Mass, they're going to come forward and declare that they want to turn from Satan, turn from sin, and accept the life that God offers them. And they'll receive prayers from Father. They'll receive the affirmation and prayers of all of us to be able to do that. All of us should do the same thing this weekend, even if we're not at that Mass. We should renew our commitment, our baptismal promises. We were infants, we probably don't remember, but we promised to turn from evil, to turn from Satan, to believe in Jesus, to follow him, to follow the commandments of the church. We made that promise, or our parents and godparents made it for us. This is a weekend to renew that commitment and to say, Lord, I want to turn from all sin and always turn to you. One final thought. Many of us here, I believe, have done that already, and it's good to renew it. But really what's weighing us down sometimes are these other things that I call attachments. Not necessarily sin, things that we look to for life, that would be better if we didn't look to them for life, but looked to Jesus for life. They're again, what the church calls attachments. They weigh us down. They kind of split us and divide us. And Jesus wants to free us from those during this Lenten season. And I encourage you to pray, ask the Lord to reveal these attachments to you. You know, some of you may know that about 5 or 6 years ago, I went to Spain and did a very long pilgrimage. I walked 600 miles from the border of Spain and France all the way to the Atlantic Ocean. It's called the Camino de Santiago. The very first day is the most remarkable, most challenging day of all because you cross the Pyrenees Mountains. It's you leave France and you cross the Pyrenees. It would be kind of like leaving Loveland, going across the Continental Divide in Estes Park and down into Grand Lake. It's brutal. Everyone stays at the same place because it's very remote. There's this old Augustinian monastery. And in one room, there's 300 bunk beds. And everyone just crashes there after this terrible first day. And the next morning, I got up and I went downstairs. And there was this room and on tables throughout the room, all kinds of amazingly interesting and expensive backpacking gear. And my first thought was, well, this is like the hotel, you know, where you forgot your toothbrush and they have extra stuff and you can maybe buy some things you forgot, like an inflatable pillow or something. And I'm looking around at all this incredible stuff thinking, I want to buy that and I want to buy that, you know. And I asked one of the people working there, how much? There's no price tags on any of these things. How much are these? He said, it's all free. He says, this is the stuff that people left here after their first day of hiking. They realized they brought too much and it was weighing them down and they just left it. And it taught me an incredible spiritual lesson. I have things like that in my life. Things that I think are cool, that I think I need, that are not necessarily sin. The Lord wants me, He wants all of us. Let those things go. Turn to Jesus, He'll give you His divine life. St. Paul, the writer of the book of Hebrews says this profound word to us in Hebrews chapter 12. He says, let us throw off every weight and sin which clings and run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. My brothers and sisters, I encourage us all in this time of Lent, this third Sunday of Lent, let's throw off all those attachments and any sins that we're still holding on to, and run to Jesus. He'll give us His divine life, the living water that He desires every one of us to have. Amen.